God has called us all to be warriors, men, women alike. I know it's Father's Day, and we're going to be talking to fathers, but really this is something that is relevant to all of us, because God has put us in such a place that we are called to be warriors for one another, to be warriors for this world, to be warriors for the broken and the hurting people in this world. We are called not just to fight for God, but to fight for one another and to begin to see a difference in this world. And I want to talk about how we can do that. And it's more than just what we are doing, but how we are doing it. And God has given us resources and that we can begin to become great warriors. And he's given us arrows. We're going to look at a verse that maybe you've read a lot. You've heard it mentioned, I know, in Psalms 127. And we're going to start in verse 3 and then just talk about it a little bit. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." I know we might say, well, is that God saying that, man, if we're going to be a warrior, we got to go out and have lots of kids? Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with kids. Well, God does love kids, and he does bless that. And that is one meaning. He is blessing parents. He is saying, blessed are you if you're a father. Blessed are mothers. Blessed are families. But it goes beyond that, because I think there's a principle here that I want to push beyond that, because some people say, well, I'm not a father, I'm not a mother, or I haven't had that opportunity. And so, you know, sometimes we can let that get us down and we can begin to fall into that. But that is not the end of that principle, because we know a great man of God is Paul, and Paul never had any children. He never was a father. And yet he said that God had blessed him with many children. And so the principle that we are talking about today is that God has put people in our life that we can begin to add to the quiver of our life. And we need to recognize that whether you are a father with your own physical children or whether you are part of the church, that God has put people around you for you to impact, for you to speak into, or for them to speak into you, we need to begin to add to the quiver of our life people around us. Because you see, it is as we begin to speak into people's life, and as we begin to let people speak into our life, we are adding arrows to the quiver of our life that we might be great warriors. Because it's through people that we become great. How we know? We know that Jesus said the greatness of life is about loving others. It's about loving God, and it's about loving others. It is about serving others, and it's about being used by God. And so this verse that says, blessed is the man who has many arrows in his quiver, we need to begin to be people, whether our children are grown and gone, that we still begin to gather arrows into our quiver. And we do that by growing friendships. We do that by speaking into the younger generation. We do that by intentionally bringing people into our life that both speak into us and that we can speak into. And so this is the principle I want us to begin to think about. God has given you arrows. What are we doing with them? There are people in our life that we are called to begin to prepare and to build up that we might not be ashamed when we stand in front of our enemies at the gate. It said that when we bring these arrows into our life, that we become warriors who are not ashamed when we stand at the gate. I think many of us, we have stopped speaking into people's life. We've stopped letting them speak into us. And I think there is going to be moments of shame when we stand before God. And so I want us to look at these arrows, because these arrows that God has given us to be fathers, to be mothers in the Lord, it's not something that are just there. It's not something that we just can say, well, I have children, and so I'm great. Or I have friends, and so I'm blessed. How many know that David knew that an arrow in itself was not good enough? The arrow had to be prepared. And so I want to look at, what do we do with the people in our life? If we are fathers, what are we doing with our children? Are we intentionally thinking and purposely planning the influence that we have? If we do not have that, maybe we are a youth here today. You might say, well, they're youth. It's not for me. You know what? Even a teenager has friends that you are speaking into. If you are a young person, you are called to be a warrior by speaking into people's lives, and you can even be gathering arrows right now into your life by building up those around you and by letting people speak into your life. So the first thing, when you think of an arrow, if an arrow is going to be effective, if an arrow is going to make a difference as a warrior, the first thing it needs to do is it needs to be sharpened. You see, we need to begin to look at the arrows in our life, the people in our life, and say, how can I sharpen them? See, an arrow is no good if it's just got a rubber sticker at the end. How many know that when you were kids, didn't you play with the little arrows that had the little stick things? They never stuck, though. I always do that. It hit, and it would never stick. But to really make a difference as a warrior, we need sharp arrows. We need arrows that have been given an edge. Now, how do we sharpen one another? How do we sharpen the people in our life? How do we sharpen those that we have influence over? Here's a verse that is just, I think it's awesome, in Ecclesiastes, because it's so true. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says this: if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. Think of an axe there. If an axe is just a blunt piece of metal, if you're trying to cut something down, you're just going to beat it to death. I mean, you might get something knocked down, but it's going to take so much strength if it's dull that it wears you out. But it's when you sharpen it, it is when you give it an edge and begin to spend time sharpening that blade, that then, first of all, it gives you more efficiency, you accomplish more, and you are not worn out. And it says, what is the sharpness? The sharpness is in wisdom. We need to begin to speak wisdom into people around us. We need to begin to share wisdom. We need to walk in wisdom. We need to grow wisdom. Many of us, we just go by the way we think. And the problem is, the Bible says that there's a way unto man that they think is right, but it leads to death. We need to understand that wisdom does not come from our own thinking. Men, many times we think we know what's right. God says that's not wisdom. What you think you are doing as far as the best of your ability is a poor substitute for the wisdom of God. And we need to begin to say, God, how can I share your wisdom? How can I impart the wisdom of God into those around me? Because that is when we make a difference. Well, here's where the wisdom comes from. Wisdom is not just what we think. It's not just because I'm mature and so I've gained wisdom and I'm going to pass that on. Now, that's how the world thinks. But you see, that's not where wisdom comes from. Wisdom does not just come from maturity and age. Thank God that some of us, as we grow older, have become more mature. But there's a lot of people that we have grown older, but we have not grown wiser. In fact, we are doing things that are foolish. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, this is what God says. It says, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking to them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking in the way, and when you are laying down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that the days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do this, all this commandment that I have commanded you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all the nations before you, and you will dispossess nations that are greater and mightier than yourself." You see, it's saying that if we will begin to use the Word of God, it says that if you will use all these words of mine and think about them and meditate on them and speak them to your children when you get up and when you go out and when you come home and when you are driving and when you are playing, if the Word of God will become the source of your wisdom, it says that you will become that warrior. Your arrows will drive away the enemies. How many know we face a lot of enemies that come against our kids, that come against our homes, comes against our families, comes against us? We need to begin to be sharp with the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to hide the Word of God within us. We need to begin to live the Word of God. Some of us know the Word, but we are not living what we know God has called us to and what we have been taught or what has been put within us. And we need to rise up and say, "I need to become sharp again because I've become dull." And it is when we use the Word of God that we become sharp instruments to make a difference in this world. Are we teaching the Word of God to those around us? At work, do we speak the Word of God? And it doesn't mean you have to literally quote the Bible all the time, but we need to begin to let the principles of the Word be the source of our speech. Let the principles of our word be the source of our decisions, of our priorities. Do people see us making decisions based on the Word of God, or do they see us making decisions based on what we want or what the world thinks is better or what we want to enjoy? We are foolish, and we need to come back to the wisdom of sharpening our arrows. Well, we need to not just sharpen arrows, but how many know that if you got an arrow, you need to make sure that it's straightened? Because every so often an arrow can become warped. And if you shoot a warped arrow, it may be the sharpest arrow around, but if it's warped, it's not going to go where you want it to go. In fact, it becomes dangerous because it can be going anywhere. We begin to hurt ourselves. We need to understand that with people around us and in our own life, we need to go through a straightening process. We need to begin to say, "God, make me straight and true so that it will accomplish what it needs to accomplish." I've put the Word in my heart. I have sharpened my mind with the wisdom of God, and now I need to straighten myself first and then those around me. The verse that we all know and quote, and yet we have fallen so short, and myself included. And I'm not here to condemn us, but we just need to recognize that we have quoted it, but we have not done it. It says in Proverbs, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What a true verse, and yet what a verse that we have deceived ourselves in. We comfort ourselves, "Well, I have brought my kid to church." The word there is to train up a child in the way he should go. To train up is not just to take them to church. That might be a good first step, and it is going to be an ongoing. But to train up is the idea of a coach, of a person. Think of it like boot camp. When you go into the military, they train you up. Now, let me tell you, the training at boot camp, and for some of us, we've been through it. I've been there before. It's not just, I'm going to drop you off at church and have a good time, and you're going to come home a different person. No, they are in your face from sun up to sundown. They are dedicated to it. But here's the thing. When you are training, here's what I felt for, because if you think about it, it doesn't just involve the person who's being trained. Who does it really involve? If you think about it, who is really inconvenienced by it? The trainer. If you think about it, they have to spend their whole day. They have to give up all this time to truly train that person. They're not just giving you something to read and you go do it and train. You see, if we are going to train up our children, that means a lot of effort on our part. If we are to train up people around us and speak into their life, if we're going to make an impact in people's life, that means we have to give of ourselves. And that's why I say, I think many times we have fallen short of this because we have just been happy to leave it to other people or to just give them a little bit at a time. We just pray with them when they go to bed at night. Well, that's good, but training is something that's going on all the time. Are we willing to put the effort in to train up a child in the way he should go? Because if we think about it, how are we really training up our children? We are training up our children, but I think if we'd be honest, let's look at what we're training them for. How are we training them? Many times we're training them for worldly success, and what a failure that is, because we already know that this world is passing away, and yet we are putting all of our effort into training them for that. We are going to be sorely disappointed when we stand before God. He says, you did not train your children for something that matters. We train them for things that don't matter. Even if they make $1 million and become the most famous person in the world, that's what you've trained your kid for? And you spent all that time for that? Was that worth it when it's all gone? And that's going to be a sad thing. No, it's not. Let's begin to train people around us. Let's begin to speak into people around us for things that are eternal, things that matter, things of character, things of substance that are going to last throughout eternity. We need to be people that speak into people around us, that begin to straighten us. Because you see, that straightens us to where we begin to have a true purpose in life. We begin to have a direction that is trained for God. Now, is it fun to do that? No. In fact, sometimes that means you have to be the friend that people don't like because you speak the truth, because you make choices that you don't get to go party with them all the time, or you don't get to do that all the time because you've chosen to maybe train yourself. You've disciplined yourself. Discipline is not fun, but discipline produces a reward that the other is not going to produce. It means you're not going to be the friend to your children. But like many have said, your children don't need more friends. They need a parent. They need someone that will say no. They need someone that will speak the truth and that will begin to give them a foundation that is firm when they grow. It says this in Hebrews. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. How many know that? That's true. But later, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Are we willing to say, I know discipline is not fun, and you may hate me. You got to be willing to let your kids hate you sometimes. They'll come around. But the ones that want to be their friend, want to do everything, and usually it's because we want to do it, they are not going to receive the harvest of fruit. You're going to receive a harvest of spoiled, rotten kids, of kids that find value in pleasure rather than true character. We need to begin to choose discipline. Now, the hard part is we can start at any time. We might have failed. And we've all fallen short in this, but we need to start now. There's never too late to begin to, first of all, start disciplining ourselves. Because it starts with us. Have we straightened ourselves as arrows? Have we become arrows? Have we let other people speak into us the hardness of discipline? There's people in our life that want to give us wisdom and straightening that we need to begin to accept and begin to incorporate that into our life. Well, not only do we need to sharpen the arrows, we need to straighten the arrows, but here's a key thing. You've got to aim it. Once you get the arrow, you need to aim that arrow. You don't just get an arrow and just start, oh, there it goes. You know, who knows where that's going to land. And yet many of us, we've sharpened them, we've straightened them, we've given them all that, but we have not aimed them. You see, there are people in our life that we need to speak vision into. We need to give purpose to. It's one thing to train them up, but now we got to show them how to use that training, how to begin to walk in the Word and begin to speak vision into their life. To aim them, I think we need to begin to give people vision. We need to give people a purpose to let them know it's not just about getting your life right. It's not just about, you know, tomorrow solving all my problems. Many of us, that's all we're worried about, just solving my problems, getting through another day, paying the bills, and that's it. We need a bigger vision, people, for life. Life is not just about paying the bills, getting the next promotion, moving up, getting better, it's just an ongoing treadmill of life of just trying to make it to the next level. If that's your only purpose in life, let me give you vision. There's bigger things to aim for. What are we aiming for in our kids? And again, this is where I think we would be shocked if we really stop and ask ourselves, where are we aiming our kids? I mean, it's good, we're aiming them to make it to a good college, to make a good career. Is that all you're aiming your kids for? That is what we're aiming our kids for. We need to stop and say, wow, I have missed the real goal, the real target. The target should not be to hit all those things and yet not be a person of character, a person that is grounded in God, that's going to stand before God one day and hear the words from God, well done, my good and faithful servant. They're going to stand before God and hear these, I hope you enjoyed that, because now for the rest of eternity, you're not going to have it. That's not the words that we want to hear, and yet we've been aiming at it. What have we been aiming? You're going to get what you aim at. So we need to begin to say, I'm going to give vision. I'm going to speak in purpose to your life. I see things in you that God can do. One of the greatest people that spoke vision into others was Paul. Again, we talked about, here's a father who had no children and yet raised up many children. You know why? Because the people in his life, he saw vision in them. He was able to aim those around him into greater purposes than what they saw in themselves. One of the great examples of that is Timothy. Timothy was a young man that Paul saw something great in, and he began to speak vision into his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5, he says this. You might need to put that up there for me, because I just lost it, Aaron. Okay. See if I can pull this up here real quick. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure that it dwells in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and has called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages even began. You see, Paul says, Timothy, I see in you something great, and I'm going to urge you to fan into flame the gift that God has given you, because you have a purpose in life. You see, Paul aimed Timothy not towards the world, but he says, in spite of the world, I want to aim you towards God. I mean, it's good. We've got to make our way in the world, but if you will aim towards God, this is what God says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. You know what? We're trying to add them to ourselves, and we're going to end up losing those things. Whereas if we would just seek God first, these other things will come. And Paul says, I see it in you. I'm encouraging you. And he gave vision. He gave purpose into Timothy. Are we speaking vision and purpose into one another? And it's the people in your life that are you part of that move of the Spirit that you are able to speak vision into everyone around you. You see, that is a quality that begins to aim people in such a way that you will stand before God not ashamed because you had a part in that. You become a great warrior for God when you are part of the vision that speaks into other people. You never know what they're dealing with, and yet you can give them vision and encouragement in that. And so he aimed each one, and you can read more than Timothy. He spoke into Titus and so many others throughout the New Testament that was part of Paul's ministry. And all of us have influence into people's life that we can speak into and begin to give vision to. But it starts with us. Are we able to see vision of God? Are we able to see God in them, or do we just see what we want? Do we just see what's on the surface? See, that's the problem. Many of us, we don't have vision ourselves. We need to pray, God, give me vision. Give me purpose in life. Help me understand what you have called me to. We don't even see our own calling. And yet, if we will begin to embrace that, then we can share that with others. And that brings us to the last thing. That is, once we have sharpened them, we've straightened them, we've aimed them, we then need to release them. We need to shoot the arrows. We need to let them go. Now, what does that mean to release them? What does it mean to propel them out? That we need to be people that not only speak vision, but that we empower them. To release them means we need to empower them. We need to begin separate them from the things that would hold them back and begin to speak encouragement. I want to talk about another person who was worked with Paul, but he was a person who knew how to empower others. Now, here's this little story, and it talks about Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15. It says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord, and let's see how they are. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. You see, Barnabas said, Paul, you have Timothy. Barnabas said, I have John Mark. And I believe that John Mark is going to be a great man of God. And I have spoken vision into his life. And so I want to bring him and empower him to now begin to do the ministry himself. And so he was desiring to release John Mark along with them into the ministry. But Paul thought it best not to take with him one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. You see, they had taken John Mark once before, and he didn't make it. He got homesick. And so halfway through, he said, I want to go home. And so he bailed on him. And so Paul said, no, I don't want to take him because he's already blown it once. But you see, part of releasing people in our life is to release them, first of all, from failure, to release them from guilt, release them from shame. Whether it's our kids or our friends or people around us, we need to understand that we all fail. We've all blown it. But are we holding that over them? Do we hold that on people in our life, or are we releasing them to become what God can grow out of failure? Because how many know sometimes it's the brokenness that becomes the greatest soil to produce a harvest? And yet many times we don't release them and we hold them in our own anger, in our own hurt, and we need to begin to release people. We need to begin to be people like Barnabas that sees that even though you hurt me and I've disagreed with you, because he bailed on Barnabas too, and yet Barnabas said, I'm willing to see beyond that. I'm going to empower you to move out of that and become great. It says, there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from each other. But look what happened. But Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. You see, Barnabas did not just release John Mark and say, okay, John, I forgive you, and you're going to do great things. But it says that Barnabas went with him and took him to begin his ministry in Cyprus. And so if we are going to release people and propel them and empower them, we need to empower them not just with forgiveness, not just with a release from the hurt, but we need to come alongside them and say, I'm also going to bring you along. I'm going to be there for you. And when we begin to speak encouragement into them, when we begin to build them up, we begin to propel them. And it's the same thing with our kids or with our church. We need to begin to release them from the things that hold them back. But more than that, we need to empower them and send them out and supply their needs and begin to support them. Do we support one another in the calling that God has for them? The great thing about this, if you know the end of the story, it comes up in 2 Timothy. So Paul's talking to his mentor, one that he has brought up, Timothy, and this is what he tells him. He says, Luke alone is with me, but I want you to go and get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. You see, years later, it was because Barnabas was willing to release John Mark and propel him forward and empower him with encouragement and with belief. He believed in him, even when he had failed. Now, some of us were like, no, I've believed in someone before. What's the saying? Once burned, shamed on you, but twice burned, shamed on me. We need to get that out of our vocabulary and say, I'm willing to be burned 3 or 4 times. I'm going to release people from that. Because when he did that, Mark now began to be useful to Paul. Paul now said, Mark, I do see that in you. And thank God Barnabas released him and propelled him and empowered him, because now even Paul saw the use that Mark had become. Are we developing people in our life that become useful for ministry? So we want to ask this question. We see that commercial all the time, what's in your wallet? I want to ask you, what's in your quiver? What's in your quiver? What have you done with people in your life? Have you gathered arrows? Have you built people in your life by sharpening them, by straightening them, by giving them vision and aiming them and then releasing them? Whether it's your children or whether it's people in your church, in your workplace, in every encounter with people, you are either gathering arrows or throwing away sticks. You see, so it doesn't matter whether you're a parent, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether you're a single person, whether you're a teenager. God's asking, are you gathering arrows? Are you putting arrows in your life by building up people, by speaking into them, not just the wisdom of the world, but the things of the Lord? Because it says if you are building arrows, it says, blessed are you, because you will be a mighty warrior. You're going to be someone who defeats your enemies. You want to defeat your enemies? Begin to build people around you. Build arrows. You see, when you're in trouble, those arrows are going to defend you. If you have built people in your life in a godly fashion, those people are going to rise up and be your defenders. If you have built people in your life, they may be the very people that cause you to find life. Not only are we mentoring people, but are we letting them speak into us? So what's in your quiver? What are you doing with the people